Well, welcome to it then. Welcome to the Sweet Spot, brought to you by the Racing Post in association with AK Bets. No Steve Palmer this week. He's off gallivanting across Ireland, but we've got a very able deputy with us this week. Joe Champion of the Racing and Football Outlook. Joe, how are you?
Very good, thanks, Dave. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm really, really good. We'll bring you some bits and pieces from Palmer a little bit later in the show. I've even told we've got producer Dan on the case today. We've got Palmer's swing, a video of his swing as well, so you can let us know your thoughts on his swing as well. And also, he caught up with the legend that is Dukie, Brendan Duke, as well, over in Ireland. So Joe is covering Steve this week only. Loads to get through, Joe. There's lots happening. There's probably more or bigger stories last week than we've got coming up, but a busy show.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil it for viewers either, Dave, but for someone that's so keen on sweet swinging golfers, I think Steve's maybe a little bit hypocritical having seen that video already.
Yes, indeed. Right. We are, of course, in association with AK Bets. You're here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Remember to like, comment and subscribe. I've got to hear and see the comments on Steve's swing, which we'll bring you a little bit later on. Steve in good form again. He placed up at a big price, so the winning run continues. We will start, Joe, by looking back before we look forward. And poor old Rory, once again, I think it was a four-shot lead at one point. I think he traded about 1-6 on the final day. And the wheels fell off again. I say the wheels fell off again, but, I mean, Rasmus Højgaard, I think, birdied the last three holes as well. So he was very impressive in the end. But talk to us about Rory here, Joe.
Yeah, I think the problem with Rory, he just went into autopilot. No one was really coming after him until suddenly Rasmus Højgaard comes from nowhere. And McIlroy sort of, he was playing solid golf. He wasn't doing anything amazing, but he didn't really seem like he needed to be doing anything amazing. And then suddenly he just hits a bad approach shot on 15, and then he had that horror free putt on 17. And by that point, the damage was done. He nearly managed to force that playoff with that absolute belter of an approach shot on the par 5 18th. But yeah, just couldn't quite hold the putt. Is it a mental thing with Rory? Shades of the US Open there, Dave, weren't there? Like it was such a bad sort of meltdown from the position he was in. But I just think it was different to the US Open. That was a major. There was so much on the line. The Irish Open obviously means a lot to Rory McIlroy. But at the same time, I just think he just got his pocket picked by a player that he just didn't see coming, really. Højgaard, he birdied the last three holes, but he played the last 10 holes in 6 under par. And without sort of sugarcoating it, he was incredibly lucky at times. He gets a free drop on the 10th, and then he holes from off the green there. On the 14th, his approach shot's going right and it kicks from the rough to 8 foot from the hole and he makes the birdie putt. Superb finish from him, and then holes a bunker shot on 17 as well. But yeah, combination of the two, really. The only thing sort of McIlroy really did wrong with that approach shot, which went to the right of the green on 15, and the free putt at 17.
That was brutal.
Yeah, it was, but yeah, just one of those days. But he's a remarkably resilient character, McIlroy. It wouldn't surprise me. He's obviously, we'll get onto it later, but he's obviously playing at Wentworth this week. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does bounce back. He's shown that time and again. And even this season, you know, he start of the year, he played in Dubai. He hit his ball in the water on the 72nd hole in the Dubai Invitational. Then he won the Desert Classic the following week. He bounced back from that Masters disappointment by winning the Zurich Classic alongside Shane Lowry. Then he won the Wells Fargo in his following event. I do think that he's probably, you know, as much as people might say he's bottled this, he does tend to bounce back from these things pretty quickly. So obviously, with Wentworth in mind, it's one to keep an eye on. Yeah, McIlroy aside, Højgaard, great week for him. Now second in the Dubai, not the Race to Dubai anymore, the DP World Tour rankings. He's on course for a PGA Tour card. Hopefully he does better than his brother has been doing, because Nikolai's fallen off a cliff a bit at the moment.
So it sounds like, Joe, you're in the camp of, you know, a forgivable one from McIlroy. You're thinking that he can come back, because there are people out there that are writing this guy off. I mean, he looked really emotional in his his post-round interview, which obviously it would have meant a lot to him, you know, being in Ireland, you know, it's a big turnout. They're all there for him, really, to see him win. So you're quite happy just to kind of wipe the slate clean. You know, there's no mental scarring damage going on here. Like this is, you're quite happy to play this one down.
I think in the short term, yeah, that he has to get over it quickly. But at the same time, we've seen time and time again that Rory McIlroy can bounce back from these things. You don't have a career that's as long and successful as he has if you don't bounce back from the odd setback. Yeah, it's a big one, but he's had bigger ones in the past and he's bounced back from them as well.
Okay, well, he's always going to be a short price, so it's a tough one for me. Well, I'll have to probably maybe see him win again before I can get involved at short prices. But we'll see. Maybe Joe will tip him at Wentworth this week. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Grant Forrest, 225-1, tied for fifth for Steve there each way. Magnificent tip. So well done to Steve. As I say, the winning run continues there. Let us know in the comments below if you got involved in the big each way there, 225-1. Any other takeaways there, Joe?
Yeah, keep an eye on Grant Forrest with the Dunhill Lynx in mind in a few weeks' time. Obviously a superb Lynx golfer, and Dan Brown as well has done absolutely nothing since he finished 10th at the Open and then gets back on a Lynx course, finishes fourth. Yeah, both of them will be on my radar when we get to the Dunhill Lynx in, I think it's 3 weeks.
Okay, right. Let's move on then to the Pro Core Championship. And this was won by a 175-1 winner. So if you managed to find this one, fair play to you. Pat and Kazir cruised home really here, Joe. You know, did the damage in the way I've got his rounds here, 66, 65, 67. And then he shot 270 on Sunday, won by 5 shots. What did you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to anyone that did find Pat and Kazir. When he's good, he's very good. His putter can heat up, but it's been pretty poor from him over the last few months. That goes to explain his price. Bit of course form in the book. He was actually second in the when it was called the Safeway Open in 2016. So he can handle this course, and he's shown a bit of form in California. I think he was 8th for the Barracuda Championship, but very difficult to see this one coming. I'd be very surprised if, you know, Pat Kazire suddenly becomes a regular PGA Tour threat again. But when he putts well, he is the sort of player that can suddenly just pop up on a leaderboard. Aside from him, Sahith Fagala played well again. Interesting to see the two Canadians, Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, playing well with the President's Cup in mind as well. They both had top 10 finishes.
Yeah, just around the corner, the President's Cup. I mean, the winner, I was reading a story over the weekend about, he has a new mental coach and he's been hugging trees and recording rap videos. So that's where they're all going wrong, Joe. It's all between the ears. You need to get out there and start hugging the trees.
Yeah, it always looks good when you suddenly start winning, Dave. But how many people have got a new mental coach and go around hugging trees and don't win golf tournaments? I don't know. I did see the social media clips of Kazire hugging a tree. I mean, if that works for you, then fair play. I'm not sure we're going to suddenly start seeing every single PGA Tour pro doing the same thing, though.
Right. Talking of between the ears, John Rahm, who's a lively character on the golf course. Really heartwarming stuff, this one, Joe. In the Live Golf Chicago, you know, you certainly feel a little bit sorry for John Rahm. Poor old John Rahm. He probably could do with a few quid. And he's bagged, I think, 22 million here because he won the individual, didn't he, over the weekend?
Yeah, 22 million. So 4 million for the individual, 18 for the individual season long title plus the tournament itself. So I think we can call it a successful debut live season, don't you, Dave?
It didn't look like it at the start, though, did it?
No, it's a bit slow to get going. I think Rahm's obviously, as you alluded to, a bit of a tetchy character. I think live not necessarily his bag, you know, music going on around the course. He lost it with the drones a few weeks ago as well, didn't he? But he is a class act on that tour. There's, you know, two or three others who could probably lay a claim to that, sort of your Bryson DeChambeau's, Brooks Koepka's. But Rahm just so consistent when he's at his best. It's no surprise to see him constantly churning out these good live tour results. But, you know, he's had a good year on that tour, but he didn't shine in the three majors he played in. Thing, if I was Rahm, I'd be looking at Bryson thinking, oh, I wish I'd won a major this year. And Bryson only finished eighth on the individual, but who's had the better season? I mean, they've both got deep pockets, so I wouldn't worry too much about the cash that Rahm's taken home.
Yeah, Sergio Garcia, Joaquin Neiman as well in the mix there late on. We're obviously going to move on to the team event, which is one of the things that we're previewing this week, Joe. But just as an assessment, you know, Liv, John Rahm, it kind of, they've bought him to come over. They've paid the big money and it's kind of gone to plan, really. As I alluded to a little bit earlier on, it didn't look like it was going to have problems with his feet. I think it was a big issue with one of his toes. But he's ended up coming through and winning the whole thing. Gone to the form book, really, as it should have done.
Yeah, I think so. I think you only have to look back to the first Liv event he played in. I think he was favourite for that. He's been favourite for, I think, if not all, then the vast majority of the Liv events this season. So certainly has gone to form. I think the big news surrounding Rahm this week, though, was that he's appealed the fines which have been imposed on him by the European Tour, which will threaten to keep him out of the Ryder Cup team next year. He's going to play in Spain next week, providing all's well with his third child, who is due fairly soon. And then he's going to play the Dunhill Links and then he's going to play the Andalusia Masters. That will keep him eligible for the Ryder Cup squad for the time being. But he's refusing to pay the fines. He's also refusing to let Liv pay the fines for him. So hard to see how, unless there's a massive shift in professional golf in the start of next year, it's hard to see how he's going to be on that Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, that one will rumble on as well, I think. And that will maybe just swell up into a bigger and bigger story as the weeks go on. He was the favourite to win on the Live Tour in Chicago. And Team USA were favourites to win the Solheim Cup. And they, I think, cruised home as well. I think the winning score in there was 15.5 to 12.5. It was 10-6 going into the final day. And there was a little bit of a fight back from Europe, but never really looked like Team USA were going to be troubled here.
Yeah, I think generally when one team's got a healthy lead going into the final round of one of these team events, the scoreboard can be a bit deceptive. You start thinking, oh, if they can flip that match, if they can flip that one, then suddenly Europe might have a chance of pulling it off. But thought the same thing kind of going down the stretch in the Ryder Cup last year. Everyone was sort of getting a little bit edgy, waiting to get over the line, but generally it was never really out of Europe's hands, and the same applied to the US on Sunday. Good fight back from the Europeans, but they gave themselves a real mountain to climb. They were 6-2 down after day one and then 10-6 going into the singles. There's so much quality on that US team. I think, you know, the likes of Nelly Korda, who didn't perform in singles, she obviously got beaten quite soundly by Charlie Hull, but so much quality. Rose Zhang, top point scorer. Lauren Coughlin, the latest sort of cab off the rank. She's won twice on the LPGA Tour in the last 2 months and has now won 3.5 points as a Solheim Cup rookie. They're going to be very hard to beat on home turf. We'll probably be a bit more even in Europe next time out. But yeah, I think Steve called it. USA is the right favourites and they justified it as well.
Lovely. Right, that wraps up all the action from last week. Before we get into the previews, let's give you a little bit of an insight of what our gallivanting Steve Palmer's been up to. Now, the first picture is Steve and Sweet Spot Live legend Brendan Duke. They're at Laytown. So I think AK has looked after Steve over the last few days. And they're at Laytown. So these two meeting up here, God only knows what was going on. Steve was on the pitch as well at one point. I'm not sure whether he'd bring the punters in or scare them off, Joe?
He's a friend of the punters, isn't he? I'm sure he welcomes plenty of punters onto AK's pitch.
Right, now this is the most important thing. You know, Steve will, I think he's got a sharp mind when it comes to the golf. He can get technical as well. But talk us through his swing here, Joe, that we're going to show.
Well, I've had a look at it, Dave, and I think remember a couple of years ago that Korean guy called Ho Sung Choi he went viral for his swing, his feet flying all over the place. I think it's more him than Scotty Scheffler. So yeah, it's work on Steve. I mean, maybe a bit more time on the course if we can try and get you a few more weeks off in the future.
That's it. Maybe we've got a swing coach and a mental coach, I think, for Steve. We'll get him hugging trees and recording rap videos, and he'll be flying. But yeah, there you go. A big thanks to AK Betts as well for the content there. Steve out on the course and on the pitch as well at Laytown. So all good fun, all good fun while Steve's away. Right, let's get to it then, Joe, because we're off to Wentworth. Beautiful course. Good event, this one, the BMW PGA Championship. Ryan Fox, the winner last year. Before we get a show, just talk to us about Wentworth. Any changes? What sort of player is going to be suited by the track?
Yeah, we're at the West Course this week. Iconic European Tour golf course, Virginia Water, Surrey. It's hosted the BMW PGA Championship since 1984. It also used to host the Volvo Match Play, designed by legendary architect Harry Colt and opened in 1926. The modern West Course is a par 72, measuring 7,267 yards. The layout has undergone numerous renovations over the years, the most significant of which came in 2017 when Ernie Els stripped out the greens. They were reseeded and a sub-air system was installed. That helps combat the bad weather, glorious sunshine at the moment. There might be a bit of rain around over the weekend, but it allows the tournament organisers to bake out the greens, make them firm and fast. It's a tree-lined venue featuring narrow fairways, strategic bunkering, so it's important to be both accurate and long off the tee. Sharp short game skills, also a big positive at Wentworth. This always attracts a strong field, and the winners have tended to be from the high class. Six of the last seven champions were ranked in the world's top 50. The only exception was Danny Willett, who had won the Masters a couple of years before. It's a tough course, but the average winning score since 2017 has been 17 under par. So the big guns really do sort of take to the course. And that's despite the 2022 event being reduced to three rounds. So expect a similar winning score this week, but expected to come from one of those top class performers.
Joe, you're asking for a lot of boxes to be ticked there. Give us the one attribute you think is the most important this week.
I think it's ball striking. It's a real ball striker's course. You've got to be accurate but long from tee to green. So you look at the list of winners and they've all been sort of cut from that same cloth.
Right, let's get a show then with AK Betts. And it is Rory McIlroy, fresh off the back of that Irish Open meltdown, 6-1. And then we've got Tommy Fleetwood at 11, Shane Lowry 15, Adam Scott 16, Aaron Ryan 22, West Ham's Billy Horschel at 22, Alex Noren, a pony 25-1, alongside Bobby Mack. Right, how many in the team, Joe? How many are you putting up for the BMW?
That's three, Dave.
Just the three, and main selection is?
Well, it's the most informed player in the field, in my opinion, and that's Adam Scott, who's been... It's been well backed with good reason over the last 24 hours, but our friends at AK Betts are dangling a nice 16-1 in front of us. So that looks a huge price to me. When Scott last came over to the UK, he finished runner-up in the Scottish Open, beating a shot by Bob McIntyre. Then he finished 10th for the Open the following week. Scott went back to the US for the playoffs. He finished 18th in the St. Jude Championship. Then he was second again, beating a shot again by Keegan Bradley in the BMW Championship. When we last saw him, he finished fourth in the Tour Championship. That was fifth in the 72-hole scoring. So he's just been playing superbly recently. He's played Wentworth numerous times in his career and three times since the renovations, each of the last 3 years. In 2021, he finished 14th. And last season, he finished seventh behind Ryan Fox. And that was despite ranking outside the top 60 in strokes gained putting. He didn't have a good putting week. Struck the ball superbly. That's what he's going to need to do again this week. That putter used to be a weakness, and it was last year, but he's been putting better than ever generally over the last couple of years. He's still a long straight driver of the ball, and he's demonstrated his suitability for Wentworth over the last couple of appearances. He's warming up for the President's Cup next week. He will have one eye on his 11th President's Cup appearance. That's the most by an international player. I think Phil Mickelson's had 12 for the US, but yeah, Scott will definitely have eyes on at least tying that record in a couple of years' time. Yeah, he'll have one eye on that. But that didn't seem to impact Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes last week in the Pro Core. Both finished in the top 10. That was encouraging for me when it came to pulling the trigger on Scott. Great chance for him to cash in this week. Kiwi took the title last year. Think an Aussie could follow him in this time around.
Okay, 16-1 with AK bets there, each way a plenty. A bit of resurgence as well from Adam Scott this season, Joe.
Yeah, very much so. He's up to, I think, 17th in the world rankings. That's his biggest, his best world ranking place since 2020. I know the world ranking's slightly flawed with the absence of some of the live guys, but still trending upwards. I think Scotty's been sort of hovering around the 30-40 mark recently, so playing really well at present.
Just if Steve's watching, I'm sure he just had a little grin there. You said trending upwards. He loves all the buzzwords and all the lingo coming through. So good stuff, Joe. Right, that is Adam Scott, who is the main pick. Who's the next best?
Oh, you're going to like this one, Dave. It's West Ham's Billy Horschel. Another PGA Tour star who's coming over to the UK. I think he can make his presence felt at Wentworth once again. Horschel finished fourth in the 2019 BMW PGA Championship on his West Course debut. Then he won the title in 2021 thanks to a brilliant tee to green performance. He ranked first in strokes gained off the tee and second in strokes gained approach. He had a pretty average putting week that week, which just goes to show how well he struck the ball and how well he's taken to this course. He was respectable the following year as defending champion, finished ninth behind Shane Lowry, and then he finished 18th last season when coming back from a big slump in form. That 18th place is his worst effort at the course so far, but it came as he was emerging from a long slump. He was still not quite back to his best. He started slowly in that tournament. Then he shot 63-68 in the middle rounds. Then he struggled a bit in the final round. But given the whole picture of his form going into Wentworth that year, I think we can call that a positive. This year, he returns looking much closer to his best form. He won the Corrales Punta Cana Championship on the PGA Tour in April. Then he finished eighth rather at the US PGA Championship in May. Then he came over to the UK, missed the cut at the Scottish Open, but he showed battling qualities and plenty of heart when second at the Open. He loves playing over here. Since then, he's finished seventh at the Wyndham Championship, 10th at the St. Jude Championship, and 22nd at the BMW Championship. All solid results in decent tournaments. 23rd at the Tour Championship. Not amazing considering there's only 30 runners in that field, but he played 4 weeks on the spin. He was probably starting to run out of steam by the time he got to Eastlake. He's freshened up after a fortnight off. I think he looks a big runner. He absolutely loves it.
The best bag in the game as well. The best bag in the game with all the...
Very much so, Dave. Are you playing, is it Chelsea you've got on the Saturday afternoon? Is that right?
I think we've got Chelsea and then we've got Brentford. So yeah, all our games at the start of the season are all... We're all in London. I think our first six or seven games are all in London, home and away. So
I'll be hoping that Billy Horschel isn't attending on Saturday afternoon. So,
listen, there'll be, you know, I think previously we've seen sort of Mark Noble, Declan Rice, you know, the West Ham boys all in and around him, following him, you know, the build up to practice rounds, joining him. So I'm sure you'll see all of that as well. So yeah, he'll get my customary wager each way, no doubt. Billy Horschel. Right, so we've got Adam Scott, Billy Horschel, and who else for us have you got, Joe?
I've got one at a big price, and that's Rikuya Hoshino at 3-figure odds. He started the season really well, back-to-back runner-up finishes in Australia. He was beaten by two top quality operators. He beat by Minwoo Lee and Joaquin Neiman. Neiman, of course, second in the live individual standings last week. And then Hoshino went and won his first DP World Tour title in Qatar in February. He went off the boil a bit after winning, and that can happen, especially when players break through for the first time. But he's bounced back over the last few months. He was 10th in the KLM Open at the International. That's a tough track. A lot of accurate operators at the top of that leaderboard. Hoshino was then 6th at the BMW International Open in July and 8th at a very tight tree-lined Crans-sur-Sierre at the European Masters. Crans-sur-Sierre, similar type of course. You need to be accurate from tee to green. A lot of Wentworth champions have won there. Alex Norren's won there twice. Danny Willett, Luke Donald always played well at Wentworth. He's won at Crans-sur-Sierre as well. Hoshino, respectful 30th for the Irish Open last week. Not really a golfer with a lot of links pedigree. So I think we can view that as a positive. Wentworth much more up his street. He was 25th on his debut last year. He's playing better golf now. He's in line to pick up a PGA Tour card, but he's about 10th in the rankings. He needs to have a strong finish to the season to make certain of picking up that card. A big week here would make certain of that. He's an underrated performer. He ranks 17th in strokes gained tee to green on the DP World Tour this season. Good at scrambling. Very well suited to Wentworth. Think he's overpriced.
Well, that's now Joe's three selections then at Wentworth. We're going back to the Livers as well this week, Joe. It's the team event. Got some prices here with AK Bet. So incidentally, you're going three places at the time of recording. Checked everyone else. Two places elsewhere. So AK Bet's going three places for the team event. Legion 13, 3-1. The Crushers, 3-1. Ripper 4s. Smash 7. Fireballs, 12. And Torque, 12s. And big prices the remainder. Right, let's talk about the track first. We're off to Dallas, Joe. What have you got for us?
Yeah, it's Marado Golf Club in Dallas, Texas. It's taking over hosting this event, which used to be at Trump National Doral for the first couple of years. This is the third edition of the LIV Team Championship. And Marado opened in 2017. It's one of the most exclusive clubs in the US. Joining fees are about $150,000. So probably slightly cheaper than Wentworth. I think we've got the very expensive club double up this week. It's a 7,567 yard par 72. It's surrounded by a lake. There's plenty of water in play on the vast majority of holes. The fairways are tight. It's important to be accurate. I think could see people getting into trouble this week. Marado has hosted a numerous college events. It's hosting a top level event for the first time. And if people think it's familiar, that's because it hosted two charity fundraising events during lockdown, where a number of top PGA Tour players were in attendance. Scotty Scheffler won the first one of those. He beat Will Zalatoris and Victor Hovland. And then Brandon Wu won the second one. He held off Scheffler. Scheffler, not quite the star he is now, but he was very, very promising at the time. So, very interesting course this. Looking forward to it.
Sounds like danger off the tee from what you're saying there, Joe.
Very much so. I think when I saw it, I was thinking the big lake kind of reminded me of Bay Hill. Can make big numbers at Bay Hill. So certainly could be the case if you're not driving it straight this week.
Okay, right. Let's talk format then. I've got days 1 and 2, foursomes and singles. Day 3, stroke play. What do you make of all that?
We should go pretty deep into the format because it can be a bit confusing. So we've got 13 LIV teams this year, of course. So with the addition of Legion 13, the top three on LIV season-long rankings have a first-round bye, effectively. So that's the Crushers, Bryson DeChambeau's team, Legion 13, which is Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, and Caleb Surratt and Kieran Vincent, and Ripper, which is Cam Smith's team. Those three are going through automatically, which explains why they are the top three in the betting. Yeah. It's not just because they've got some top players on their teams as well. The remaining eight will face off in what LIV have called the quarterfinals. So the team who are ranked fourth overall, that's Brooks Koepka's Smash Golf Club, will get to pick their opponents. So I suspect they might be lining up what they call the Ironheads, Kevin Na's team, who have not done really anything this year.
They are the outsiders, 125-1.
Yeah, I suspect they'll be playing Smash Golf Club in their first match. And then the team of fifth then get the next pick, and then the sixth team get the next pick, and so on. So we've got match play for the first 2 days. Those match play ties teach you two singles matches and foursomes. They get to pick who does what. So you might want to send out your two strongest guys in the singles. You might think that maybe actually we can pair one strong guy with a weaker guy in foursomes. I don't know. I'm not going to second guess too much what the captains are going to do. And the team which wins two of the three matches will progress to the next round. And then it all happens again on Saturday. The five teams advance on from Friday to Saturday, and then they'll play the top three as well. So then you've got eight, and then eight goes into four for the final day. On day three, each team member will play 18 holes of stroke play, and all four scores will count towards a team total. So last season, Crushers won the LIV Team Championship. They shot a combined 277 or 11 under par. They beat the Range Goats, Bubba Watson's Range Goats, by two shots. So hopefully that makes sense. I mean, it took me a little while to get my head around it as well, Dave.
Basically, you've got to get to the final day and then add all the four players' scores together. Do they play as a four-ball, Joe, or do they mix them up?
Good question. I think they mix them up, but I can't remember, to be honest with you, Dave.
That's fair enough. I really want to try and get into it, Joe. So Do you have a strong view here on who is going to win this event?
I've got a strong each way view, I think.
Right, that's that'll do for me. Right, who are we going with?
Yeah, well, the gut instinct might be to go with the three teams that are pretty much guaranteed to at least have a shot at making the final. But I'm going to take them on with the Fireballs, who are ranked sixth. So they should get a decent first round pick. And I think they can progress with whoever Sergio Garcia picks to face in the first round. Garcia's joined by Abraham Ansah, David Puig and Eugenio Chikara in this all Spanish speaking team. They started slowly as a team this year. Over the last few live events, they finished second, eighth, first, fifth, fourth and third in the team competition. Garcia's had a great season. He won in Andalusia when Steve was on him, and he finished second three times, including last week in Chicago. He's finished third in the overall individual standings behind Rahm and Joaquin Neiman. He's playing really well, probably playing as well as he has for some time, actually. He's based in Texas. So he'd be quite at home playing in Dallas. I couldn't get any confirmation on this, but I'd be very surprised if he's not had one or two practice rounds at Marado. His teammate Ansah, I expect those two will go out in singles on the first 2 days. He's played at Marado. He finished 7th out of 82 in that second COVID event behind Brandon Wu. He's also a Texas resident, should be pretty comfortable in this environment. And then Puig and Chikara, two very talented young players. I expect they'll go out as a foursomes pairing. They've both played this course as amateurs. Puig finished fourth here in an amateur event. And Puig's best result this season also came in Texas at Live Golf Houston, where he finished third. Garcia, obviously a very, very storied match play record. Europe's top point scorer, the Ryder Cup. Ansah won 3.5 points in his only President's Cup start. That was in 2019. He beat Tiger Woods in the Sunday singles. Tiger Woods was the Masters champion at the time. This isn't current, you know, limping around Tiger Woods. He was still a very, very top player at that point. They're supremely accurate from tee to green, Garcia and Ansah. The two of them rank in the top four in their fairways hit on the LIV Tour this season. So I think they'll be well suited to Marado. And Puig's been solid in his last three starts. Chikara's the weak link, but he's not a hugely weak. It's not a huge drop off. He finished 39th in the individual standings. So below average, but far from the worst player on the LIV Tour. And I think every one of those top teams has a weak link. Like Rahm and Hatton, obviously two top players for Legion 13. But Caleb Surratt finished 54 for 54 last week. He shot an 80 in the opening round in Chicago. And Kieran Vinson is, I think he's ranked sort of 50th on the individual title. If it comes down to the 18-hole stroke play and you're on Legion 13, you really need Rahm and Hatton to do a lot of the heavy lifting. I think it should be pretty even if the Fireballs can get to that stage. So I do fancy them to come through the match play portion of the event and then give it a good go in the stroke play contest on Sunday.
Each way plenty. There is $50 million up for grabs here. The winners take home 14 of it. So there's a lot of moolah on show. I'm glad you qualified that line of form as well, Joe. This is not we're not talking about the limping around Tiger Woods as well there. So, okay, brilliant. Anything else to add on that event, Joe?
Yeah, I think we've got these generous each way terms. If they get through to the final day, then you've got a very good chance of landing the place money because, you've got 3 out of 4. So, good each way terms, good each way bet on the Fireballs.
A nod to AK Bets there. Three places where everyone else is two places at the time of recording. Right, let's have a wrap up then, Joe. We're off to Wentworth and Dallas this week and just round up all your tips for us this week.
Well, at Wentworth, it's Adam Scott, Billy Horschel and Rikuyo Hoshino. And the LIV Golf Team Championship, it's the Fireballs.
Fireballs. And of course, the best bet of the week will, of course, be West Ham's Billy Horschel. That is the one to latch on to. Joe, it's been good to see you. Before we go, you're obviously stepping in for Steve this week. Where can people read your pearls of wisdom on the golf every week?
So I write a weekly tipping column in the Racing and Football Outlook, which is out every Tuesday in all good estate agents, all good news agents, and some rubbish ones as well. There might be a few estate agents that stock it. And it's also available on Monday evening for Racing Post Members Club subscribers on the digital edition.
There you go. Get your mortgage and get your RFO all at the same time. There, right. Thank you, Joe, for your time and expertise. Remember, I do want to hear feedback on Steve's swing. That's probably the most important thing. But we have got some good judges following along as well. Plenty of people putting up the winners. So put your comments below this video. Like and subscribe. Enjoy the golf. Gamble responsibly. We'll see you next time.